Our next presenter is going to be David Gut.
Well, I'm very happy to be here today, and I'm so struck by the diversity of these projects and the enthusiasm that each of us speak about them. And that's to the credit of, I think, the design of these, which I'll touch on, because my theme today is social justice and how the views of social justice have changed both for me as an investigator as well as the community groups that we've been working with. We're a fourth-year NIOSH EJ project, and one of the things that we're busily engaged in is producing data into manuscripts. At this point, we've completed two papers and probably five to seven more in the pipeline for working on this year. So that I'm going to tell you where those data are coming from at this point, but I don't have a lot of results other than the programmatic advancements that you'll hear about. No disclosures to declare. The setting is Somerville, Massachusetts. For myself, as a Tufts faculty member, this is a host community and one which Tufts has strong relationships with in a variety of mechanisms. The partners are dictated by the grant and community-based organization, and Dr. Barron's already taken us through that in terms of the construct of this. The goal: to explore lessons learned of this talk regarding social justice and our methods in a minute. Somerville was chosen, one, because it's smack dab next to Tufts. It makes it very easy to do this work in terms of just connections. It's a gateway community, and this is something that we learned about operationally or through our research, but it's also become crystal and clear in terms of the various kinds of interactions we've had with the community relative to the research that's going on, is that people come to Somerville to establish themselves and then usually quite frequently move away. It's highly diverse in terms of ethnicity and country of origin. It's also quite dense in terms of it being a densely occupied urban area. We have very good community partners that you'll hear about more, clear and present issues that unite us both across the academic lines as well as the community, and we also have this strong interaction with my university. Here's our health partners, Cambridge Health Alliance, community partners. Note that the one at the top, Immigrant Service Providers Group / Health, almost sounds as if it was concocted by a Hollywood director in terms of fitting the bill for what was necessary to draw upon coordinated efforts within the community. This group existed, and the three groups that you see underneath it, Community Action Agency of Somerville, Haitian Coalition, Brazilian Women's Group, were already members of the Immigrant Service Providers Group. So one of the things I think that is clear is that these kinds of projects work well when you have good partners. And then finally, our occupational health advisor, MassCosh. The demographics of Massachusetts are persuasive in terms of the importance of immigrant labor, and we've seen that in the restaurant data that you just saw. You also, in terms of the representation within the poultry industry as well. So there are specific segments of industries that offer a high deal of representation from immigrant populations. The disparity in terms of the health risks faced were part of the drive and part of the interests in the community that led to the submission of the NIOSH EJ grant. This is one type of disparity that exists. Another was more pointed and more acute. Three Vietnamese floor sanders were, two died and one was severely burned in a explosion as a result of a lack of ventilation on the job. This occurred right in Somerville about 3 months before we submitted our grant, and it actually propelled us forward in terms of listing this as an important project. The barriers to progress have already been delineated, I think, by my two preceding speakers. There's language issues, lack of training that's culturally competent, and employer exploitation. This is a sort of a dynamic map of the relationships that have grown over the 3 years as we're entering our fourth year, with various inputs coming from the community, the university, and occupational health services. It's I think important to note that this was not conceived as a community-based participatory research model at its outset, but I think it's fair to say that if you interviewed both the community and the university and the occupational health services individuals independently, they would agree that we are making progress towards that and in real time over the space of 3 years of working together. Where is the data coming from? We are doing surveys in the community using teen educators, teens who have been trained in occupational safety and health practice, as well as interview techniques, public speaking, to gather information. We have approximately 350 of these surveys completed to date. We've conducted five or six focus groups in a variety of settings to probe deeper on some of the relationships that we're seeing in the occupational safety and health surveys. We've conducted three panels of key informant interviews, seeking to understand knowledge from community leaders. Started with an N of 7 in the first year, and this year we will probably be completing 20 or 21 of these. The main growth has been expanding into unions and also health service providers in greater detail. We also have used publicly available data, and it's interesting to note this and to point out the intersection between the data that we collect as well as the publicly available data. And I think the ROC data made good use of that type of intersection. Our interventions have been to employ our teens, bilingual and in certain cases trilingual teens, as means of access to immigrant workers and the immigrant community. But we're also interviewing them. So the North Carolina approach of essentially trying to evaluate your interventions, we are attempting to do that as well. And we've completed three cycles of interviews with our teen educators. The co-op that Dr. Barron talked about has been launched. It has attracted great media interest, front page, not CNN, but a front page of the Boston Globe. And we were also very lucky to be invited to the NIOSH equivalent of Denmark to go talk about that. And you'll see a slide on that in a second. And then finally, occupational health workshops and fairs. We use these as ways to recruit people for our surveys, but also to impart knowledge and training. Now, we started out as environmental justice, and all of us in this room, I think, do not need to be belabored with an attempted definition of environmental justice. What I think has occurred in this project is that the issues that have motivated us initially have broadened, and we have, both as researchers and as community partners, begun to see interconnectedness between issues that I think were not on our radar screen 3 years ago. Here's a picture of myself interacting with the teen educators. The important point here is that bottom bullet. Employing teens is a fulcrum for change. We just recently had another Globe article, and the quotes from the teen educators were just so inspiring. I want to work for my community. I see these issues as being connected. I need to impart greater amounts of knowledge about the relationship between work and health. And the teens are quite powerful in their sense of advocacy for their communities. This is some of the training that they've engaged in. These maps are essentially hazard maps. The one on the right, the upper right there, is a Burger King conceptualization of where the hazards are in a Burger King occupational setting. There's hot French fries. It's an obvious connection to ROC. We didn't know that you were going to be presenting today, but there it is. There's the teens' conceptualization of the hazard map. And where did they gain this knowledge? They gained the knowledge as consumers, but also workers, in this industry. We've convened meetings across teen groups. So, for instance, there are two other EJ projects in Metro Boston. And we convened a meeting of all the youth groups that are affiliated with those. And the teens in their last set of surveys really reported that they love to meet other teens that are doing this kind of work and share their information. So the whole sense of community and solidarity among these various elements is something that I didn't think was important in the beginning, and now I truly value and look back on. Health fairs are great places to impart information as well as obtain information. Here's a slide of the Vida Verde co-op. The co-op is founded on the principle that if you want to empower workers and also hopefully change some of the risks that workers face, one way to do that is through the aspect of changing the organization of work. So this is a house cleaning cooperative, house cleaning in the sense of individuals or small groups of individuals working in individual homes and cleaning. And one of the main innovations was contributed by my colleague Eduardo Siqueira in the back of the room here, in terms of instilling in this co-op a sense of environmental lowering the impact of ambient environmental contamination as a result of using safe cleaning products, but the added benefit there also is to improve their health experience. This is another population that we've interviewed, and one of the most surprising findings from that is that symptoms that were previously felt by the cleaners using traditional products, a very small sample. There were 11 members in the original cohort. We completed 9 interviews to date. And 8 of the 9 report a lessening of the symptoms as a result of the non-traditional and environmentally safer cleaning products. The co-op has probably been the single intervention that has attracted the greatest media attention and also professional attention. Here was an invitation from the National Research Center for the Working Environment. Eloisa Galvao, the president of the Brazilian Women's Group, the home of this co-op, and I journeyed to Copenhagen to talk about our experiences there. The very interesting thing in Denmark is having a rising problem in terms of integrating immigrant populations. The Western European nations are demographically below replacement, less than 2 births per family. The only place they can go for new labor is immigrant populations. And essentially, the traditional Danish response has been, well, anyone who enters our country should just learn Danish and become a Dane. And they are running into real difficulties in essentially that, and recognize the fact that they needed new ways to outreach and identify immigrant workers and to build trust in terms of their relationships. So this research group is the NIOSH equivalent in Denmark, and we spent 3 days with them in April talking about our methods and also talking about the rich variety of grassroots organization. In Denmark, the government is viewed as the vector for change, essentially, in a very strange way, and there isn't the richness of grassroots organizations that we found even in our home community of Somerville, and that just was one point of real interesting discussion between us and the Danes. The bottom bullet there is that we're hoping that they're going to come visit us in January 09, and you'll see that their initial points of interaction with the immigrant community in Denmark has been the Turks and Thai individuals, but these are national cleaning companies, large multi-unit cleaners that would clean large office buildings and other institutions of a similar nature. So not the individual house sector cleaning that we were representing. This slide is meant to convey some of the activism that some of the community partners also deal with and actively participate in. These are slides from the Brazilian Women's Group and speak to some of the issues that they have spoken out on in public and exercising their political voices. The work has also led to other research. Here is one on a survey on health and immigrant practices in Somerville. This is a joint activity of Tufts students and community members learning together about how to do community-based research. And here's our study goals for that. It represents a broadening of some of the issues that motivated us to start the work on occupational health among the immigrant community. And finally, lessons learned about social justice. It's a brave person who would put up just four bullets, right, about a topic this broad. But I knew I had to come to some ending. Involvement with communities inexorably leads to a recognition of the interconnectedness of issues. That's predominantly for the academics. People in the community realize the interconnectedness as a result of living their lives and seeing the sense of connectedness among the issues. Time scales of the community and academics can be quite different. This predominantly becomes, I think, a bit of a struggle over publication and the release of information after appropriate QA and quality checking needs to go on. And I'd be interested to hear how other projects have worked on this. Working definitions of social justice may not be that dissimilar. I don't think there are, you know, and I polled some of my community members before I came here today and also some of my academic colleagues. And really, I think we have a pretty similar idea about what social justice is. We may have different views on how to get there. But the final point is this context is a powerful force in shaping needs and interventions on this work. This was starkly made real to me in the journey to Denmark and how we were talking about similar issues, but seen in an extremely different context. The thank yous for these projects are quite long, and you can speed read that. The thing that's really greatly appreciated is NIOSH support for core funding of these activities. I have one bit of good news that I haven't told certainly Dr. Barron. Based on the work and the partnerships that we've created, we're happy to be in receipt of a new four-year grant from NIH that is going to look at obesity in using the same community partners as a build-out, both because it's of importance to them, but also because of the strengths of these relationships. And the principal investigator is at our nutrition school, but is going to be based on our same set of community partners. More information? Questions? Thank you.